All right, welcome back, everyone. Ready to dive into something new today?
Definitely always up for expanding those mental horizons.
Well, today we're taking on excerpts from Think Fast, Speak Smart. And this book, it's like it promises to give you these communication tools for any wed situation.
Ambitious. I like it.
Right. It's like having this like a toolbox, but for your brain.
Yeah.
Full of techniques to think on your feet, be more articulate, you know, no matter what you're facing.
See, that's what I find so intriguing is how it actually gets into the cognitive science behind communication. Like, it's not just surface level tip.
Exactly. Like, it wants you to understand how your brain works under pressure.
Yeah. So you can leverage that, not get sabotaged by it.
Because we've all had that moment. You're in a meeting. Someone puts you on the spot.
And your mind goes, poof, blank.
Total brain freeze. And the book, it calls this cognitive load, like being overwhelmed with info. You just can't process it all.
Oh, I can relate to that feeling way too often.
Right. And then it gets even more interesting because it explains how our brains, they work on these two systems.
You got system one, which is like that quick instinct, like a gut reaction. And then
system two is the slower, more analytical one, the one that needs a minute to think things through.
And of course, when the pressure's on, we default to system one, the quick and dirty, which sometimes
not the best move for good communication. Yeah.
So the million-dollar question is, how do we engage system two more, even when we're in the hot seat, feeling that pressure?
Well, that's where the book starts talking about brain hacks, which is a fun way to put it.
One that stood out to me was mental rehearsal. Like, athletes do this all the time.
Visualizing the game, yeah.
So you can mentally walk through these challenging conversations you anticipate, almost like, you know, rehearsing how you'll respond.
So it's almost like having a script for your brain
right.
Getting ready for that big performance.
Exactly. And there's actually research backing this up, saying it not only reduces your anxiety, but helps you think more clearly in the moment.
Makes sense. You're not caught off guard. The book also mentions mindfulness.
Oh, huge one. It can keep you calm and focused, like when you're under pressure. It's about training your mind to just observe those thoughts and emotions without judgment.
Instead of getting swept away by them?
Right. You respond instead of react. Huge difference.
I can definitely see that being super helpful in a tense situation. You know, if you could just stay present, choose your words carefully.
You're less likely to say something you'll regret later, big time.
For sure. The book also talks about cognitive flexibility, the ability to, like, switch gears in your thinking.
Yes. So important. Being able to adapt to new info and just, you know, change your approach as needed.
Like, you're in a conversation, someone throws you a curveball, and instead of getting flustered,
you can stay composed and roll with it, even if it challenges your perspective.
Like mental agility, yeah.
And the cool thing is, the book gives you ways to boost that flexibility, too. Like, brain training, puzzles, strategy games.
It's like cross-training for your brain. I like that.
Right. Got to keep those synapses firing.
So, okay, our minds are prepped. We're calm, focused, ready to engage. Now let's get into the actual speaking part, those smart techniques. And the book actually highlights the power of pausing, which I got to say, at first I was like, wait, wouldn't that make me look hesitant?
That's the common misconception. We think faster is always better, you know? Like, we equate it with intelligence, but research actually says it's the opposite.
Oh, interesting.
Taking those pauses, even just for a few seconds, it allows you to gather your thoughts, really choose your words.
And your message, it lands with more impact, yeah.
Think about it. Those dramatic pauses in movies, speeches, they create anticipation, draw you in.
True. But how do you do it without sounding awkward, you know?
Well, the book gives some strategies,
yep.
Like pausing before a key point that highlights it, or after you've spoken, lets it sink in for the listener. And one simple tip, replace those hos and ums with intentional pauses.
Oh, that's a good one. You'll sound so much more polished.
Instant confidence boost,
yeah.
Just from breathing.
Definitely going to try that. It's amazing how such a small change can affect how you come across. What other techniques does the book really emphasize?
Active listening. It's often overlooked, but it's not just about hearing the words.
Right.
It's showing you understand and value the other person's perspective. And the book, it actually gives specific techniques to become better at this.
So more than just nodding along and saying, uh-huh, right?
Yeah.
What are some of those techniques?
Paraphrasing is a big one. Imagine you're in a tough negotiation and you want to make sure you're both on the same page. You could say, like, so if I'm hearing you right, your main concern is.
Oh, that's great, because it not only clarifies their point, but it shows you're really listening.
Trying to grasp their perspective, which is key in any negotiation, really.
Totally. Makes you seem more collaborative, not just trying to push your own agenda. Any other active listening techniques?
Asking clarifying questions. Don't just nod along if you're confused. Ask for more info, shows you're engaged, prevents those misunderstandings down the line, and never underestimate nonverbal cues, too.
Oh, yeah. Body language.
Eye contact, nodding, facial expressions, all that can show you're present in the conversation.
Creates a connection.
Huge difference.
All right. So we've got pausing, active listening. What else is in our communication toolkit here?
Well, Think Fast, Speak Smart talks about this thing called framing. It's like the art of presenting info in a way that influences how people see it.
Like spin.
Yeah.
But in a more, I guess, skillful way.
Think of it like this. The same fact can sound completely different based on how it's presented.
Oh, yeah. So it's not just what you say, but how you say it.
Exactly. A perfect example. Imagine you're presenting a new project to your team. You could be like, this project, oh man, it's going to be tough, super demanding.
Like you, the grounds, right?
Or you could say, this project, it's a unique chance for us to push our boundaries, learn new skills. Same project, different frame.
Wow. Huge difference in how people will approach it.
And the book, it really focuses on positive framing, highlighting the opportunities, the benefits, even within challenges.
Makes sense. Got to find that silver lining. What about storytelling? I've heard that's powerful too, like making info more compelling if it's in a narrative.
Oh, storytelling, one of the most powerful tools we have. It's human nature to be drawn to stories. We remember info better that way too.
So instead of just hitting people with facts and figures,
you weave them into a story, make them come alive.
It engages their emotions, not just their intellect, right?
Exactly. Let's say you're convincing your boss to fund something new, just stating the ROI, that might not be enough.
But if you can tell a story about how it'll solve a problem, create opportunities.
Now they feel the impact. That's persuasion.
And the book actually gives tips on crafting those narratives, right?
Yeah.
Like how to structure it, what message you want to convey.
It's a whole art form and one worth mastering for any kind of communication.
Okay, this is fascinating. We've got mental prep, pausing, active listening, framing, storytelling. But what about like the stuff we don't say, body language, all of that?
Ah, yes. The silent language, it can be louder than words sometimes.
Right. Actions speak louder and all that.
Think fast, speak smart. Stresses that we're sending signals constantly, even when we're silent. So got to make sure those signals are the right ones aligned with our message.
So if I'm slouching, avoiding eye contact, while trying to be persuasive.
Not exactly sending a message of confidence, are you?
Right. Mixed signals. That's never good.
So the book highlights those nonverbal cues, posture, eye contact, gestures. They can either help or hurt your communication big time.
So what are some of the cues that show confidence, credibility, all that good stuff?
Good posture is essential. Standing tall, shoulders back, chest open.
Taking up space. Owning your presence.
Exactly. And eye contact shows attentiveness, builds trust, but, you know, don't overdo it. No staring contests.
Right. Got to find that balance. And then there's gestures, using them to emphasize points.
But again, not too much. You don't want to be distracting. Right?
I mean, it makes me think of that time I saw someone presenting and they were just fidgeting with a pen the whole time. It was impossible to focus on what they were saying.
Yeah, sometimes less is more. It's all about intention.
Okay. Posture, eye contact, gestures. What about our facial expressions?
Huge. A genuine smile can make you approachable, while a furrowed brow can look like disapproval. It's all about being aware, making sure those expressions match what you're trying to say.
I know I tend to frown when I'm concentrating. Probably makes me look way more serious than I intend to be.
We all have our little quirks, but awareness is key. Then you can adjust.
Makes sense. Anything else? Non-verbally speaking, I mean.
Oh, tone of voice and pace of speech, they matter too. Confident tone, moderate pace, that's authority. But if you're high pitch, talking super fast.
She comes off as nervous, yeah.
Happens to the best of us, especially under pressure. But again, awareness is step one. Then you can practice things like deep breathing, mindful pausing to regulate all of that.
So it's a whole package deal, isn't it? What we say, how we say it, our body language.
And Think Fast, Speak Smart really gives you the tools to work on it all.
This is great. But even with the best techniques, I mean, we all mess up sometimes, right? What does the book say about handling those communication mishaps?
Well, it has some good advice for recovering from those blunders, even turning them into learning moments.
Okay, because I'm definitely interested in that. We've all been there. You say something you instantly regret, or a conversation just goes sideways. How do we bounce back gracefully?
The first step, and this is so important, acknowledge the mistake. Don't try to pretend it didn't happen.
Right. Hiding from it usually makes it worse.
Own up to it. Even apologize if you need to.
Shows accountability.
And builds trust, surprisingly, because you're taking responsibility, not just trying to deflect.
So instead of being like, oh, I didn't mean it like that, it's more, I'm sorry if that came out wrong. Let me explain.
Much better approach. You're showing you're willing to clarify.
What other tips does it give?
Humor, if it's appropriate. Like a well-placed joke, a little self-deprecation. It can diffuse tension.
Oh, yeah. Laughter is the best medicine sometimes. Helps everyone move on. But what if it's a more serious blunder? You know, you've said something really offensive or hurtful.
Those are tough, but the book stresses sincerity and empathy above all else. Acknowledge the impact of your words. Express genuine remorse.
So, not trying to justify yourself or minimize their feelings, but really understanding how it affected them.
Putting yourself in their shoes, that's where true apology comes from.
This is good stuff. I think sometimes we're so focused on our own viewpoint, we forget to consider how our words might land on the other person.
Perspective taking, that's a skill in itself.
It is. And the book also says, don't dwell on the negative. Learn from those mistakes.
Ask yourself, okay, what can I learn from this? How can I do better next time?
Turning those blunders into growth opportunities. I like that.
We're all works in progress. Communication is no different.
Totally. It takes the pressure off of needing to be perfect all the time.
Exactly. Think fast, speak smart. It reminds us that communication is a lifelong journey, you know, always learning, always refining.
This has been so insightful already. We've gone from like brain science to handling those awkward moments and everything in between.
Yeah.
What else could there possibly be in this book?
Well, what if you need to really persuade someone, get them to see your point of view, buy into an idea, take action? That's where the book dives into the world of persuasion.
Ooh, the art of influence. This is where it gets really juicy.
Right. And think fast, speak smart. Draws on the work of Robert Cialdini.
Oh, I've heard of him. He's like the persuasion expert, right?
Pretty much. His book, Influence, it's a classic.
Yeah.
And Think Fast, Speak Smart. It takes his 6 principles of persuasion and gives you actual techniques you can use.
Okay, so give us the crash course.
Yeah.
How do we tap into those Cialdini principles to be more persuasive in our everyday communication?
All right, one of the most powerful, reciprocity. It's the idea that people are way more likely to say yes if you've done something for them first.
Like, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours.
Exactly. And it doesn't have to be huge. Even small acts of kindness, offering value up front, people become more open to your ideas.
Like getting a free sample, suddenly you feel obligated to buy something.
Classic reciprocity. You can use this in any communication. Offer help, share info, be genuinely kind. People respond to that.
So if I want to pitch a project to my boss, maybe I should offer to help with something they need first.
Could work. The key is sincerity, no manipulation. It's about building goodwill.
Gotcha. Okay, reciprocity, check. What's next on this persuasion power list?
Another big one, consistency. People like to be consistent with their past actions, their commitments.
So if you get them to agree to something small first,
they're more likely to say yes to a bigger request later on. It's building momentum, establishing that pattern of agreement.
Clever. But how do you actually use that in communication?
The book says, frame your requests in a way that aligns with their values, things they've already said. Like, if someone cares about sustainability, you highlight the environmental benefits of your proposal.
Appealing to their sense of consistency, I see. That's
it. It's all connected. All right, ready for another one?
Hit me with it. Consistency check. What's next?
This one, it's a classic. Social proof. People are more likely to do something if they see others doing it.
The good old herd mentality. We follow the crowd. Especially when we're unsure.
Think about it. Why do lines form outside that restaurant? Why does everyone suddenly need those specific shoes? Social proof.
It's powerful stuff. So how do we use that to be more persuasive?
The book says highlight testimonials, case studies, examples of how others have benefited.
So instead of this is a great product, it's more like thousands of satisfied customers love this product.
Yeah, you're showing it's not just your opinion, it's a proven thing.
This is amazing. We've gone from brain science to persuasion tactics, all in one deep dive. I have a feeling we're only scratching the surface here.
Oh, absolutely. Think Fast, Speak Smart is packed with insights. We're just trying to highlight the stuff that'll be most valuable for you all.
And remember, this is just the start. Go explore the book yourselves. There's so much more to discover.
We're giving you the map. Now go on the treasure hunt.
Exactly. But before we wrap up this part of our deep dive, we want to leave you with something to think about. The book, it hammers home that practice is key for any skill, especially communication. So, what one technique from today are you going to try out?
Pick one thing that resonated, try it in your next conversation. Even small changes can make a difference over time.
Absolutely. All right, we'll be back with more from Think Fast, Speak Smart in our next part of this deep dive.
See you then. You know, we were talking about social proof before, and it reminded me of how Think Fast, Speak Smart really gets into storytelling as a persuasion tool, too.
Oh, for sure. It's crazy how a good story, it makes information stick so much better than just, like, facts and figures.
It's because stories hit us on that emotional level, you know? It goes beyond just logic and reasoning.
Yeah, you connect with it more. It's not just information, it's an experience.
Think about it. Someone tells you a story, you're not just listening. You're feeling what they felt, seeing things through their eyes.
Like being transported into their world, yeah.
And that's when we really remember things, when we're emotionally engaged.
Totally. It's like, I remember giving this presentation once about a new product launch.
Okay, yeah.
And instead of just like the features, the benefits, all that, I told a story about a customer who had this problem and our product, it solved it.
Ooh, smart move.
And the audience, they were so much more into it.
Well, of course. You put a human face on it, a real person whose life was changed. That resonates way more.
And I think they actually remembered it better, too. A story sticks with you more than bullet points.
No doubt about it. And Think Fast, Speak Smart. It gives you some good tips for how to, like, weave those stories in.
Okay, so how do we go from just talking to being, like, captivating storytellers?
One tip, focus on that hing element. People connect with stories about people. So bring in those personal anecdotes, relatable characters, those emotional moments.
So if I'm pitching, let's say, a marketing campaign, mm-hmm. instead of just demographics and numbers.
Tell the story of a customer whose life was impacted by what you're selling.
Show, don't tell. That's what they always say, right?
It's about painting that picture for your listener.
It's like those commercials, you know? The ones that tell the story, those are the ones you remember.
Right, they hit you in the feels, and that's what makes it stick. The book also talks about structure, though.
Oh, yeah, like a good story needs a beginning, middle, end, right?
Exactly. There's got to be that conflict, that tension, and then how it resolves.
Like a little movie playing in their head keeps them hooked.
That's the idea. That structure makes it all come together. So we've got the human element, the structure. What else does the book say about storytelling?
Yeah. What are those pro tips?
Authenticity is huge, G. The best stories, they come from a place of truth, real emotion. Don't be afraid to share your experiences, your vulnerabilities, even your failures.
That's a good point. You can tell when a story is, like, forced or fake.
Yeah. The ones that hit home, those are the ones that come from the heart.
Makes sense. And I guess, like any skill, it takes practice. The more you tell stories, the better you get at it.
Absolutely. It's a muscle you got to flex. So we've talked about mental prep, those speaking techniques, storytelling. Now, what about nonverbal communication? The stuff we're saying without words.
Oh, yeah. That's a whole other layer, right? It's so subtle, but so powerful.
Think fast. Speak smart. Says those nonverbal cues, they can speak volumes. Confidence, trustworthiness, interest, or the lack of it.
It's like actions speak louder and all that jazz.
Exactly. You might be saying one thing, but your body's telling a different story. And the book, it's all about aligning those two things, the verbal and nonverbal.
So they're working together, not against each other.
Right. It's about congruence. So how do we even become aware of those cues, make sure they're sending the right message?
Yeah, because sometimes it's unconscious, right? You don't realize what you're doing.
That's why awareness is step one. Got to pay attention to our posture, our facial expressions, the eye contact, our gestures.
Because you could be, like, totally undermining yourself without realizing it.
Imagine you're trying to give this killer presentation, but you're slouching, avoiding eye contact.
No one's going to buy it.
Yeah, your body's saying, I don't even believe this myself.
So, okay, confidence and credibility, what do those look like nonverbally?
Posture is huge. Standing tall, shoulders back, chest open, that's authority.
Like you're taking up space, commanding attention.
You got it. Eye contact is key, too. Shows you're engaged, builds trust, but no staring contests.
Right. Too much can be creepy. Got to find that sweet spot where you're connecting, but not making them uncomfortable.
And then there's gestures. They can bring your words to life, emphasize things. But again, balance is key.
I saw this speaker once. They were fidgeting with a pen the whole time. It was so distracting.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that, too. It's like, pick one thing. Use it purposefully. Don't overdo it.
Less is more sometimes.
Yeah.
Okay. Posture. Eye contact. Gestures. What about facial expression?
Oh, those are powerful. A genuine smile, it can totally change the vibe, make you seem warm, approachable. But then, you know, furrowed brow, that skepticism, maybe even disapproval.
You gotta make sure those expressions are matching what we're trying to convey.
Exactly. I know I have a bad habit of like frowning when I'm thinking hard. Probably makes me look way more intimidating than I am.
Happens to the best of us. Okay, so we've got all those visual cues, but what about our voice?
Oh, tone of voice, pace of speech, they matter big time. Confident tone, moderate pace, that's the sweet spot. But if you're high-pitched, talking a mile a minute.
Yeah, you just sound nervous, like you don't believe what you're saying.
And that happens, especially under pressure. But we can work on it. Deep breathing, mindful pausing, all that helps.
So it's like a total performance, isn't it?
Hmm.
What we say, how we say it, our body language, it all plays a part.
And think fast, speak smart. It gives you the tools to fine-tune that performance, make it impactful.
This is all fantastic advice, but let's be real. Even with all the best techniques, we're going to make mistakes sometimes.
Absolutely. We're human after all.
What does the book say about those communication mishaps? You know, how to handle them when they happen.
It's got some really good advice for recovering from those blunders, turning them into learning opportunities even.
Okay. Because I definitely need that advice. Those moments where you say something, you're like, ugh. Why did I say that? Or a conversation just goes totally off the rails.
We've all been there. So according to the book, step one is acknowledge the mistake. Don't try to sweep it under the rug. Own up to it.
Yeah, trying to ignore it usually just makes it worse.
Exactly. And when you acknowledge it, you're taking responsibility, which, believe it or not, it can build trust.
People respect that honesty more than trying to cover it up.
Right. So instead of, oh, I didn't mean it like that. I apologize if that came out wrong. Let me explain what I meant.
Much better. You're owning it, showing you want to fix it.
That's what people respond to. What other tips does the book have?
Yeah, is there more?
Humor, if it's appropriate, of course. A little joke, a self-deprecating comment, it can lighten the mood.
Oh yeah, laughter is a great diffuser of tension. But what if it's a more serious mistake? Like something genuinely offensive?
Those are tough, but the book says sincerity and empathy are key. You acknowledge the impact of your words. Express real remorse.
So not justifying yourself, but really getting how it affected the other person.
Right, putting yourself in their shoes. That's where a real apology comes from.
I think we forget that sometimes. Mm-hmm. We're so focused on our own end side of things.
It's a muscle we got to work on, that empathy muscle. And the book also says, don't just dwell on the negative. Learn from those mishaps.
So it's a growth opportunity, even when you mess up.
Every mistake is a chance to refine your communication skills, get better for next time.
I like that perspective. Takes the pressure off of needing to be perfect.
We're all works in progress, remember that. And think fast, speak smart. It reminds us that communication, it's a lifelong journey.
Always evolving, always learning.
Exactly. So this has been like a whirlwind tour of communication tips. We've covered so much, from the brain science to the nitty-gritty of handling those awkward moments. But is there like a common thread through it all? Any overarching themes from the book?
That's a great question. And I think there are a few key takeaways that really stand out. First, communication.
Yeah.
It's a skill, not a talent. Anyone can learn it. Anyone can get better with practice.
So you don't have to be born a smooth talker.
Nope, not at all. And the second thing, effective communication, it's more than just words. It's about the psychology behind it, the nonverbal cues, connecting with people emotionally.
It's about how you make people feel, not just the information itself.
You got it. And lastly, think fast, speak smart.
Mm.
It really emphasizes authenticity. Like, yeah, we can learn techniques, but people connect with genuineness. So you're not putting on a show, you're being your true self, but also being mindful of how you come across.
It's that balance because authenticity builds trust. And trust, that's the foundation of any good communication.
I love that. So as we go out into the world armed with all these new tools,
remember to be prepared, be aware, but most importantly, be yourself.
And know that you can always learn and grow as a communicator. Think fast, speak smart. It just gives you that starting point.
The foundation to build on. So now it's about taking that knowledge, using it to connect with people on a deeper level.
And who knows what amazing things can happen when we do that.
That's the exciting part. The possibilities are endless when you can communicate effectively.
So go out there, practice those pauses, tell your stories, speak your truth.
The world needs to hear what you have to say.
And we're here to support you on that journey. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
We'll catch you next time for another adventure in knowledge and exploration.
You know, as we're wrapping up this deep dive into Think Fast, Speak Smart, I keep thinking about how it's not just about those specific techniques, but it's like, It encourages a whole different mindset about communication.
Oh, totally. It's like a mental makeover, you know? You're not just learning tools, you're changing how you think about interacting with people.
It's like giving your brain a workout, training it to approach communication more, I don't know, strategically, more mindfully.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Instead of just reacting, you know, on autopilot, you're pausing, you're considering the other person, you're choosing your words carefully, your body language, all of it.
One of the biggest shifts for me was seeing communication as less of a one-way street, more like a collaborative dance.
I love that analogy. And the book, it's all about that active listening, not just as a technique, but as a principle, right?
Yeah.
Really engaging with the other person, understanding their view, creating that space for connection.
It's like going from broadcast mode to conversation mode. Instead of just transmitting information, you're actually receiving, processing, responding.
And that makes the whole experience richer for everyone involved.
Another thing that really stuck with me was that idea of seeing challenges as opportunities.
Oh, that reframing, so powerful.
Instead of dreading a tough conversation or a presentation, you look at it as a chance to grow, to learn.
To step outside your comfort zone, yeah.
I used to get so nervous before presentations, but now I try to think, okay, this is my chance to share my ideas, connect with people.
And how does that feel compared to the old way?
Way better. Less anxiety, more confidence.
That's the power of a mindset shift right there. It changes everything.
So as we finish up this deep dive into think fast, speak smart, it's like, yeah, the techniques are great, but it's really about cultivating that mindset of growth, of connection.
And empowerment too, right? Knowing you have the tools to communicate effectively.
And it all starts with that one step, whether it's trying a new pausing technique, telling a story, or just approaching conversations with more empathy.
Pick that one thing that resonates with you and just go for it. Experiment. See what happens.
The world needs your voice, your ideas, all of that. And think fast, speak smart. It gives you the tools to share it.
With confidence, with clarity, with impact.
So go out there and communicate. What are you waiting for?
The world is listening. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, everyone.
We'll see you next time for another adventure in knowledge and exploration.